Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this January 17th, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to speak with Ben from the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Catch up with them. Right now, we have in studio our good friends from the Arts Council. First up, want to introduce Sally Kistner, Executive Director at the Arts Council. Good morning, Sally.
Morning.
Good to have you with us. How you been?
Just great.
Good. Good to hear. Eric Brittenocker joining us from the Performing Arts Center. Eric, always good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks.
Thanks for being here. You doing all right?
Oh, yeah.
So
doing great.
On the bike. You look good, man. Looking nice, smooth, and everything. And joining us on the phone, we are very happy to introduce Mr. Tom Curry, tuba player with the Wisconsin Brass Quintet. We're going to get to know Tom, get to know the Wisconsin Brass Quintet a little bit more. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good. You sound good. Sound like, where are you calling us from, Tom?
Good. I am in Madison.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. One of my favorite cities in the whole world. I love Madison.
It's a great place.
Really is, man. Really is. There's not a one of the things I noticed the last time I was in Madison visiting my sister, not a bad view. There's almost nowhere in Madison you can go where there's not something beautiful to look at or something great to see, a skyline or something like that. Tom,
That's
appreciate
right.
the
You're
time.
Never more than a few steps away from a lake either. So
very true.
Very
good point.
Yes.
Tom, I want to get to know the Wisconsin Brass Quintet a little bit, but before we do that, I want to get to know you a little. Can you tell us a little bit about where you're from and what got you to want to start playing music?
Sure. I'm a Wisconsin resident, actually. I grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin. And in Appleton, there's a really great music school, Lawrence University. So I got very into, I actually began on piano and played some guitar, and then in sixth grade, started playing tuba. And was very fortunate, again, to have really great musicians and great teachers in town at Lawrence University. Marty Erickson was my teacher, who was the tuba professor there. And when I graduated high school, I knew I wanted to do music. So I went to the University of Wisconsin, actually, for my undergraduate degree. From there, moved to Chicago and worked and studied and played there and moved back about 9 years ago to teach at the University of Wisconsin.
I appreciate that. It's such an interesting path you've taken, too. Now, when it comes to the tuba, I played trumpet and cornet. I had a couple of good friends of mine that played saxophone. One of my best friends growing up chose the tuba. There were other players, other instruments he could have chosen, but he saw the tuba and fell in love with it right away. And I remember asking him, why the tuba? I like this way it sounds. So all he said, I just like the way it sounds. That was it. No big deep meaning or anything like that. He just liked the sound. What brought you to that beautiful brass instrument, the tuba?
You know, it's funny. When I was in sixth grade, when I was 12 years old, I think I just thought it was kind of funny and kind of goofy. And it just sort of jived with that side of my personality. Mm. But, you know, the better I got at it, the more I realized that that sort of dark, rich, low register sound really just kind of meshed well with my own thoughts about how to produce sound, how to sing through the instrument. So it started off kind of as a goof and really turned into something that has really become my preferred sort of musical voice.
Hmm. Oh, well said. I like that. Sure. I want to get into the Wisconsin Brass Quintet and your part in it and everything, but don't want to skate past this. You've got a nice solo career too, Tom.
I really enjoy, I enjoy all different kinds of playing. So I definitely play in orchestras, I play in the Wisconsin Brass Quintet and other chamber groups. But I do love going on stage by myself or with a pianist and playing as a soloist. It's a really, it's probably the freest, most creatively free thing that you can do. I get to do whatever I want. I get to play whatever kind of music I want. And it's really fulfilling and challenging to be alone on stage in front of people and just have to perform.
It's. I know one of the things that I miss about playing music the most is that wonderful balance of having moments where you have a part in the symphony where you have you stand out, and then there's parts where you're working with everybody else in your cohesive group. Like there's something beautiful about both of those stories.
Absolutely, and actually that's the reason I love playing chamber music, playing in brass quintet the most, because there are only five of us on stage, so. Unlike a symphony orchestra where you might be resting or you might be sort of a secondary voice, in the brass quintet, you are always a soloist within the ensemble. So there's definitely a certain responsibility, but then also you're always featured, and it's very fun that way.
Tom, let's talk about the Wisconsin Brass Quintet. For those that may be out there, if there's a couple of people that may have not heard of you guys, let's explain to them what this band is and how they came to get together.
Sure. The Wisconsin Brass Quintet is a faculty ensemble in residence at the University of Wisconsin at the Meadwitter School of Music. And what that means is that we're really performers and artists in residence at the university. So the Wisconsin Brass Quintet is a functioning professional ensemble housed within the university, housed within the School of Music. So actually, the Wisconsin Brass Quintet this year is celebrating its 50th year in existence. It began in 1972. And our goal really is to continue to push the genre forward, to be researchers, to be sort of explorers of the genre of brass quintet music, but then also to really connect with communities and make sure that we're going out promoting the Wisconsin idea, which is the idea that the borders of the university are the borders of our state, playing community concerts, playing at universities and high schools around the state and around the region.
Yeah, well said. Well said. It's a fun band, too, by the way. It's so much fun to listen to. These guys are so great. So on point. It's a lot of fun. It's also, Tom, and you're a younger guy, and I know that you work with a lot of younger people. And I think that another thing that I love about what you guys do is keeping this music alive, keeping this music fresh with younger audiences and engaging them in it. Because Tom is also, you serve on the faculty of the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Meadwitter School of Music. Since 2014, you've been doing this. So as a young guy yourself, working with younger people, keeping this music alive, like teaching the knowledge of music and steps and all these things is great. But I think also keeping this music alive and fresh with younger people is also a really key part of this.
Absolutely. And with classical music or contemporary music, that can really go two ways. You know, one way is to be more experimental, to be more esoteric, to sort of, you know, the old I don't care if you listen, we're out there exploring and we're on the cutting edge. And there's something exciting and fun about that, but another thing that we really want to do as a group is to play great music that connects with people. So for example, on this concert that we're doing coming up in February, we have a half of our program that is sort of, this is what brass quintet does, and brass quintet music written for brass quintet. And then we have a whole half that is just, it's film music. It's music that we love from movies that we love. And when we go out and play this music for people, it's not what they expect a brass quintet to be doing, but it's just beautiful, meaningful, powerful music, and people, I think, really appreciate that.
Yeah, agreed. And I think it's such a cool idea, too. Just doing that is an awesome idea, too. And something else that's really cool, one of the things that we love about the Arts Council and these amazing acts like the WBQ coming to our area is these educational programs we can do, Sally, and these nice outreach programs that we have as well.
Right.
And this one has that.
It does.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool. Can we touch on that a little bit, Tom? What is it about that you enjoy as working with the youth, working with young people?
Oh, you know, it's an interesting question right now where we are all at coming out of this pandemic, and to see what it was like to get through that time when we were in isolation and when it was difficult for us to come together and play music together. I think now when we walk into a high school band room, the energy and the enthusiasm for music and the social aspect of music, it's just so exciting to be around that exuberance and that energy. So, you know, it's something that we did our best to continue over the pandemic, doing it online and over Zoom and things like this. But when we actually are there working with younger students and they have a chance to hear us play and we have a chance to hear them play, and oftentimes we'll actually sit in with the bands and play with them so they get a sense of what it's like when professional musicians do that. It's so much fun, and it's just, it's an extremely exciting time for that.
Yeah, very well said, Tom. And we're so excited to have you guys come to town February 2nd. The Wisconsin Brass Quintet going to be joining us. We're actually going to play a little of your guys' music for the audience here, Tom. Before we do, and we let you go here, because I don't want to keep you too long. I appreciate the time so much from you. I do have to mention two quick things. Tom, sneaky good dresser. Stylish young man. and while you mentioned that you graduated from UW, and we want to send a shout out to all our Wisconsin grads on Wisconsin, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that you also took some classes at Northwestern University, where my mother went. I have to mention that, otherwise my mother will not acknowledge me.
Go Cats.
Go Cats. Yeah. Appreciate you, Tom. Really good to meet you. You got to join us again, though, sometime. Next time you guys are in town, you got to come on the air with us again.
I would love to. Thank you for having me.
We are going to greet you. We're going to give you a great audience for this show. You go ahead and rest up until then, and we'll talk real soon. Take care, Tom.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for the time. So let's go ahead and do that right now, Sally. Let's go ahead and play a little bit of the WBQ for the audience here. The chemistry that exists with these guys, especially when they get in the room together and start working. I went down a rabbit hole with this, you guys, of watching these guys and the way they work together and how intertwined they are. It's really like there's big band music, there's the symphony, there's a lot of these styles, but then when you see people getting to do it that, for one, are enjoying it, have the energy to play it, but have the chemistry where they're just finishing each other's notes, it's so smooth, it's so good. And there's jazz, there's good music, and then there's music like this that's just on another level to me. Is that what stood out to you about them, Sally, part of the reason why you wanted to bring them to town?
I love brass, and we haven't had a brass group for a few years now, and it was just, it seemed right. It seemed like the right time to bring them in, and the fact that they're in Madison helps also.
It is nice, too, to bring in local acts, certainly, but acts that are even state local. You know, and supporting that is always nice to see. And we all love that. We love seeing our local, anything, you know, with a Wisconsin in the title or anything like that brings people in. It pulls people in.
They are also bringing a guest drummer. Ooh. So they're adding a sixth person, which when I first got the picture from them for our marketing purposes, there were six people in there, and it was bugging me to no end because a quintet is five, I thought people were going to think I was weird or something publishing this picture. But then they explained they were going to also include a guest drummer, so that's kind of cool.
It does change it up a little bit,
though. Well, it is a brass quintet. It just has a drummer.
Right. Exactly.
I want to say, the Miles Davis Quintet, I think, did something very similar to that, too, where there was like six members, and I think it was because of one guy was playing drums or something like that. Art Blakely played drums or something like that. Yeah, I didn't think of that. That is pretty good. Eric, Sally mentions that it's been a while since we've had a brass band here. Is there anything different that you have to do for them setup-wise or any of that kind of thing?
No, as a matter of fact, these brass bands, these acoustic acts, are actually quite simple. You know, the essence is on the acoustic music, and so there's very little amplification, if any. You know, so we put up the acoustic shell and really rely on the great acoustics of the PAC to really make this happen. And so, you know, we're going to be carefully creative with our lighting and, you know, be tasteful with some things there. But essentially, you know, we just have to set the stage for them. I just looked at their rider just before I came in, and, you know, it's like it asks for five music stands and five chairs and a 10-by-10-foot area for the ensemble. And that's pretty much it.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And, you know, general stage lighting. So there you go. We're going to focus a little bit more on just some tasteful lighting, making it look really nice, and then let the musicians do their job and provide us with the fantastic music to listen to.
Two quick questions. One for the audience that doesn't know, what's a rider?
So a rider is, we call it the technical rider, and it's a piece, it's a document that accompanies the contract, which states all of the things that we have to provide as the presenter. So oftentimes, and I speak in generalities, but oftentimes it's, you know, the PA system, the sound system. It might be backline instrumentation. It's the microphones. It's the cabling, mic stands, you know, just all of those types of things. Yeah. Monitors, in-ear monitors, if you're familiar with those things. So any of the pieces of equipment that the artists might need to make their event successful. Very few artists actually travel with all of their gear. Some still do, but oftentimes we provide some things at the venue, and that's just, you know, standard how some groups operate. Is every venue they go to, they're provided with the equipment that they need to, you know, to make their show happen. And so we don't have to do that in this case. You know, they're bringing their horns. We just have to essentially have the stage set up, cleaned, and prepared.
When it comes to that, now I don't pretend to know you that well, but you do seem like the kind of guy, Eric, that you're not going to just sit there and put your feet up. Like, if there's nothing for you to do, you're not just going to kind of like take a nap. You're going to look for things that may be able to, that you, I don't want to say tinker with, but maybe make better or just make sure everything's running right. Is that kind of how this works for you when it comes to an act that doesn't need as much, maybe?
Well, I think there's, you know, the details are important as they are with any show. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're looking at things like masking, you know, making sure that, you know, we don't have any visual obstructions or things like that. And when I say masking, that means the curtains that are either masking overhead so that you can't see either into the wings or, you know, up into the fly space. So, you know, we're making those adjustments. You know, of course, you know, the details I think are important. Yeah. I notice some of those things. Maybe a lot of other people don't, but I think it's just really important to have, you know, something that, that looks presentable.
Well, and the kids that you that learn from you and learn under you and all that, they learn those things too. They pick up on a lot of that stuff too.
Well, I think it goes, you know, as far as like laying cable down and plugging things in. You know, we want to have nice, neat runs. We want to make sure that things are taped down so people don't trip and so that your stage doesn't look like, you know, there's just gack everywhere,
right,
and there's coils of cable. So, you know, the kids kind of make fun of me. You know, they're like, oh, you know, Bert Knocker's, you know, kind of giving us a hard time because these cables are pretty much a wreck. But it really makes a difference when your stage is presentable and, you know, you can, you know, trace things down a little bit easier. You know, if things are labeled, if things are nice, clean runs, taped down, people aren't getting hurt, those sorts of things. And it really makes a big difference. You know, it's like you can spend just a little bit of time during the setup, mm-hmm, and it makes it that much easier also on the tear down because things aren't all knotted up and stuff. So, you know, there's value, and you have to teach that. And sometimes, yes, we have to rework things. Mm-hmm. That's part of the learning process with kids. So,
yeah.
So you let them throw it down all in a big mess, and then you make them go back and fix it and plug it all back in. So repetition is good too.
Yes, but the things that I learned in those early days about acting when it came to like my props, you know, drama teacher Mr. Hudeveld, all these teachers tell you put your props here on the table, know where they are. As kids, we don't think about that. No big deal. Then all of a sudden, I got to be out there with my prop, and where's my prop? Where's my? I don't know where it is. You learn really quick. All of a sudden, okay, yeah, that prop table is important. Got to know where my props are. These little things that these kids are learning and stuff, they have a bigger impact than I think we can realize, and how it they carry with them in their future jobs, even if they don't continue to do this, but especially if they continue to do this kind of work. It's cool little lessons that they learn, and I appreciate you sharing that for us, knowing those kind of things, because those of us that have never gotten to do that wouldn't learn these things otherwise. What are these kids learning? What are they doing? These are the things they're picking up on. Whether they go into that field or not, that's a life lesson. That's something that, okay, you know, doing the extra steps, taking the time to do things. Sometimes these things may seem silly or pointless or whatever, but it all adds up to a great show or a great production or a great performance or great work. That's some good stuff. Thank you for that, Eric.
Sure.
I also just want to interject that it doesn't really matter. You know, like this group is from Madison. So if people are looking at it as a lesser group than some of them that we've brought in, they are so talented, and they've been all over the world performing. And I think the fact that Eric works with the kids like that and doesn't lower the standards for a show like this is critical to the kids, you know, in the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I've often learned too, like you can look at this on the outside and say, oh, this is going to be an easy show. And it's sometimes not that at all. It's the most demanding. And you have some of these world-class musicians, and they can be demanding people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be on point, and you have to be willing to provide them the services that they need, you know, and do it with a good attitude. And I think that's part of it too, is, you know, I always tell them, you know, be here, be present, and be willing and able to help out, you know, when the time calls for it. And I think it's just that presence in the space that they're in is also an important lesson that I try to teach the kids. Is like, when you're here, you need to be aware of the needs of, you know, who's in the space, and, you know, try to make it as best as you can for them, you know, as our renters, because, you know, we're providing a service to people, and it's important that, you know, at the end of the day, they realize that, you know, being an, you know, audio engineer or some of these things, being a stagehand, we are in the service industry. We are mm-hmm. providing a service to people. And so it's important to realize that we are essentially customer service agents with a technical background. And so anyway,
excellently said.
So yeah, you know, these kids learn a lot, and sometimes you don't see it on a day-to-day basis, but I think over time you really see students grow. You see them come out of their shell, you see them take risks and do things that they wouldn't maybe ordinarily have done, and it's really rewarding seeing them grow, you know, over the course of 2 or 3 years. And it, you know, again, you don't see it on a day-to-day, but, you know, if you count the years and look at, you know, over the span of time and connect the dots, you really see the growth, you know, of the students. And that goes for anybody, you know, committing to whatever their profession is or their interests are. You see that growth, and it's great.
Mm. Yeah, there's nothing like it. Never gets old. Sally, let's talk about the details of the show, how people can get tickets.
You bet. So the show is Thursday, February 2nd, just a couple of weeks away here. Mm-hmm. $25 for adults, $10 for students. You can purchase them 24/7 at savorthearts.org. Or our office is open 10 to 2:30 Monday through Thursday. You can either call 715-424-2787 or stop by at 1040 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
It's going to be a really fun show. Everybody wants you to be a part of this. If as far as the outreach class afterwards, mm-hmm. do people need to know anything about registering for that or to sign up for it?
They should contact me if they're interested. That will occur at 3 o'clock the afternoon before the performance. Mm-hmm. So, and that is sponsored by Mead Witter Foundation.
Yeah. Big shout out to them, and thank you to them for all the great work they
Absolutely.
Do in our community. Really incredible work that foundation does. I did want to save a minute or two, Sally, and I take a little shame in this, but I can't help it. Take Three is like a month or so away, Sally. It's so close. It's
yeah.
so close. They're going to be in town here.
Yeah.
I did want to remind the audience about that. March 9th, Take Three coming to the Performing Arts Center. It's going to be such a fun act. All these acts that you have signed up this season are all great and amazing. I just happen to be in love with this band, so I can't help
you
myself.
Are.
I really, I got a problem. I actually got to get this out of my system before I talk to these people.
I think you need to come to the outreach, too.
I think so. No, it's so much fun. I want to encourage people to not only look forward to that and get your tickets for it, but Chris Cruzy coming up in March as well. That is going to be fun. And so many great acts that you, Eric, that the team over there at the Arts Council have worked to bring into our community. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Just as much as we appreciate it being entertained, I know how much it means to this community to go that extra step and have these outreach programs. I think it's one thing to bring an act in. That's great. That's cool. Doing this other thing there with the outreach programs for these kids, it shows how important I think it really brings it home to people, especially non-artistic people or people who think they're not artistic. Everybody's artistic. The importance of arts, the importance, especially in rural communities, for kids having arts and seeing these things like in person. You can see it on anything nowadays, your tablet, your TV, all that stuff. Seeing it, breathing it, all your senses real in real time.
Right.
It means something. It goes an extra step. And I appreciate the work you guys do with this.
Thank you.
This is a lot of fun. A big shout out to Tom Curry for joining us. Thank him. Appreciate him joining us. And looking forward to you guys being back here real soon, probably next month, I imagine.
Yep.
Looking forward to it. Eric, Sally, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
If people have follow-up questions, Sally, they want to know more, want to know about getting tickets and everything, how can they do that?
Give me a call, 715-424-2787, or go online, savorthearts.org.
We'll talk again real soon, guys. Thanks again for
Thank
the
you.
Time.
Thank you.
Stick around. We got more Morning Magazine coming up for you right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.